I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. He was the star of this year's Super Bowl, and today the New York Giants' David Tyree is here with us to talk about the catch of his life. Now I'm going to pass the ball to our very own Tony Cox.
Thanks, Farai. I'm going to try not to drop it because the catch by David Tyree will forever be engraved in the minds of football fans. You might remember that catch back in February during the most watched Super Bowl in history. Against tight defense late in the fourth quarter, Tyree grabbed Eli Manning's pass, wedging it impossibly between his right hand and his helmet. It was something to see, and set up the New York Giants for their upset win over the Patriots. He'll have a book out in September called More Than Just a Catch, chronicling his path to unlikely Super Bowl heroism. David is in town for the ESPY Awards. He's nominated for, what else, Best Play. David, welcome to News and Notes.
Man, truly excited just to be here hanging out with you guys.
You know, David, you have something we don't get to see very often here in Southern California, not since the Raiders left town. That's a Super Bowl ring. Where is it?
Yeah, we got to hang this nice piece of jewelry up here. It's, man, I tell you what, you work hard, blood, sweat, and tears all year round just to hopefully wear one of these. Took Michael Strahan 15, took me 5, so I'm doing all right.
That thing's heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty heavy, but this kind of weight you don't mind getting right here.
Listen, we talked about the fact that the book More Than Just a Catch is coming out. Now, that's really quick. I mean, the Super Bowl was in February, and here we are in the summer, and the book's coming out in September, so you must have, tell me, started working on this before.
Well, you know, I think the book is something that would have, maybe possibly been in the, down the road, what happened, the Super Bowl never happened. But when you look at the series of events and what God has kind of done in my life, it's no greater, timing, and timing is everything. So it's a lot to give in my story. You know, I've been through some tremendous struggles, and it wasn't until I came into this wonderful relationship with Christ, and I wanted to, share that with the rest of the world.
Now, you talked about your history, and it has been checkered, would be a fair word to you.
Yeah, certainly.
Let's talk about some of the things, because I know before that you had your epiphany, you had some run-ins with the law.
Yeah.
I read this about you, and I'm like, am I reading this correct? That you were fined by the team,
yeah.
And in order to raise the money to pay the fine, you sold some weed out of the trunk of your car.
Well, not really out the trunk of my car, but I was selling weed at that point. That was where that's how dilapidated my mind was. You know what your mindset, just how progressively things can be and can progress. But it was I was dealing with some of the same struggles a lot of people deal with the substance abuse, alcohol, marijuana, obviously being an NFL lifestyle, women, and whatever else is at your grip. And when I got the fines, basically my mindset was, hey man, I got some good bud, I got some good marijuana, I might as well start selling it. And, it's just, it's amazing how gripped you can become, and people like to think that, the music or, the things that are, out there in our society don't have impact on people, but they do. Everybody, my thing was, hey, it was a keep it real generation. And that's as real as it gets. You want to be a gangster, let's stop playing. And,
is that what happens to so many young athletes, particularly black ones, who keep getting in trouble with the law, even though they have all this money in their pockets?
Well, you realize that I found that this is my personal experience. If you don't have the right understanding, the wisdom and the know-how to understand what the money is used for, I believe it intensifies every dark part of your life. Whereas, I liked women, obviously, now I attract more women. I got drugs. Now I can afford the drugs that whereas I couldn't afford them before. So that's exactly what money did for me. And that's when you say the love of money is the root of all evil. When you don't have the right understanding of the means of it, it goes usually to the wrong places.
Tell me about the epiphany that you had.
Yep. Obviously, those are my struggles. And I get to that point where I'm selling these drugs with friends as well. I get pulled over with a half a pound of marijuana, and while I'm in that jail cell, first time in my life where I sincerely cried out to God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home at all. Didn't even do church on Easter. All the drug dealers in church on Easter, But, I'm in that jail cell, and I just said, God, all I know is I need you right now. And if you don't mind, I would appreciate it if I can keep my job as well. And that's, like I said, that was a real prayer. And within that time span, for about 11 days, God, kind of literally delivered me with no lasting effects from alcohol, drugs, never slept with another woman other than my wife. And 11 days later, I walk into a church where You know, I probably wept in the back of the church for about 20 minutes as I saw this woman singing to God. I saw that she had peace. I saw she had joy as she sang to God, and I realized that, you know, there's 80% of men of my age which would trade places with me in a heartbeat, but I didn't have that. And so I wept, and I gave it all to God, gave it to Christ, and my life's never been the same.
A lot of people are talking about black fathers these days because of a Barack Obama's Father's Day speech, and there's been a lot of controversy. Your father, you grew up without a father, as I understand it.
No, I actually had a very good father. We just, you know, he's just a divorced. My parents were divorced. He was very close, you know, always around. But, you know, that still has a lasting effect, which kind of raises a certain level of bitterness that, thanks to my relationship with Christ, I learned to be free from. You know, there's different levels. You know, so many people grow up fatherless or, you know, in so many, you know, especially obviously in black homes or, you know, in minority homes, they grow up, you know, in single parent homes. And, you know, it raises a level of a mindset of destruction where it was never intended to be that way. And, you know, so a man doesn't, there's only certain things that a mother can do for you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain things that you need, you know, that you need from your father, you know, or even if you, especially as a male, but even as a female, a father, you know, his job is to show, you know, his daughter, what she can expect.
Now, you're a father now. You've got twins this year.
Yes, I just had identical twin girls.
Congratulations
on
that.
And so my job is, you know, is twofold, you know. You know, obviously to show my men, you know, what it is, you know, show my boys what it is to, you know, foster them and be, obviously, number one, God-fearing, but, you know, love, respect, you know, all those virtues that we need to, you know, raise our children in, but to show my, you know, show my daughters as well what they need to expect, you know, from a man, you know, so that they're not slighted, you know, as they grow up.
Let's end this with talking about football. If you had dropped that ball, would you still have a book, and what would the name of this book be?
Oh, man. If I dropped it, I would like to think I still have a story that's definitely worth telling. You know, who knows when or when God would open that door, I don't know. The name of it might be, you know, just simply Brokenhearted.
That's it. You know, your number 85 jersey is up there. You know, you only have 4 catches all of last year. One of them, one of the greatest catches, and maybe you'll win the ESPY. We hope you do. It was a great catch. Put us in that moment. We've got about a little less than a minute. Put us in the moment. Here's the ball coming.
Yeah, the ball's coming. Obviously, the circumstances, you know, maybe a minute left, less than a minute. Eli, you know, that's the first half of the miracle is him getting away from 3 Patriot defenders. Ball's in the air. You know, you just do your best to position yourself. High point it, go up. I feel the heat from Rodney Harrison, my Siamese twin, for a little bit. And, you know, I didn't know anything. I'd be lying if I told you I knew I had that thing on my helmet. But the only thing in my heart, I'm just saying I ain't letting this ball go at all.
Man, it was a great catch, and it was something I'm sure you will remember for the rest of your career. Rodney Harrison said you will never make that catch again in 10,000 tries.
Yeah, you know, I hope his heart was right. I'll be the first one to agree, but I hope his heart was right when he was saying it because, you know, I'm not taking credit for the catch. I'm giving it all to God. You know, and that's the biggest difference. And, you know, I think he was a part, you know, he was just an instrument as well. I think he did everything in his natural ability
to make
that play.
David Tyree, great having you. Thank you very much.
I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
That was NPR's Tony Cox speaking with David Tyree. Tyree plays for the New York Giants and has a forthcoming book called More Than Just the Catch, which will be on shelves in September. He joined us here in our studios at NPR West in Culver City. To check out video of our interview with David Tyree, go to nprnewsandviews.org.